2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. We're still in the series Total Healing. Total Healing, where we're trying to answer critical questions with practical answers, but most importantly, with a touch of the supernatural. I know you believe and you know that the supernatural makes all the difference. I have experienced God too much to take him for granted. And I know he's the way maker. He's the one that answers. He gives you the best answers to the deepest of questions. Amen. Total healing. Total healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 to 5. I'm reading from TPT translation this morning. It says, all praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he's the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. The God of endless comfort. The God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering, so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own suffering, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. Just as we've experienced the abundance of Christ's own suffering, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us, would envelop us, we overflow in our lives because we are connected in Christ. You know, in this third part of total healing, if I'm going to give a topic to what I want to say today, I'm just going to make an expression and then I'll start from there. And what I want to say this morning is, nothing prepares you for grief. I wish there's a lecture that one could take to prepare you for grief, but it never suffices. I wish there's study. I wish somebody could have told you something. But everybody at one point in time experiences grief. Grief is the hurt, the unbearable pain you have to deal with due to a loss of life. And nothing prepares you for grief. Father, in the name of Jesus, I say this morning that you speak to us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you because you are the God of all comfort. And I say this morning that you speak to us. Everyone experiences your comfort in a greater dimension, the way only you can comfort. In the name of Jesus, speak to our hearts. Let your revelation hit us. Let it liberate us, inspire us, empower us, strengthen us, give us life. In the name of Jesus, I stand here not speaking of myself, but speaking as your representative. In the name of Jesus, I yield every of my faculty to you. In the name of Jesus. Because we need to hear from you. We have heard enough from men. We have heard enough from men. You are the expert of all times. You are the one that determines the season and the times. And we look forward to hearing from you today. In the name of Jesus. Let your comfort cascade through everyone listening. Every device. Every home. Every situation, so we step into total health in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah, for in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, can you say a better amen with me this morning? So I remembered on the 27th of May 2016, that was barely 4 years ago, right? thereabout. I think that would have been the 74th birthday of my mom. But unfortunately, you know, somebody would say, unfortunately, 74th. Okay, you are still blessed. She's still past 70. You know, but nothing prepares you for grief. Nothing prepares you for grief. I think somebody still reached out to me like 2 weeks ago. And her dad was, well, you know, advanced in years. And the truth is, she was just like, I'm losing it. My dad is being buried today. And I just, you know, can't keep it together. The same thing, you know, when somebody has to bury a child, you know, whether lost to sickness, whether lost to accident. And if you look at the world today, the grief is just overflowing. It's just overflowing. Hallelujah. Nothing prepares you for grief. It looks as if, you know, when others are experiencing it, you can talk, you can speak English. But when it hits you, the first thing is, wow, what am I going to do? I don't think I'm going to go on. You understand? When it hits the people close to you and you see the excruciating pain it brings, you're just like, wow, this is too much. This is too much. And on that day, you know, that was not the day she died. She had actually died on the, I think, 1st of May, you know, the same year. But we decided, because we just needed to put it behind us and she had been ill, you know, for a while, we wanted to be able to bury her on time. So we just came together and pulled everything we could pull together. But, you know, that morning, you know, dressing up, trying to get, you know, you just have to be strong. You just have to, you know, step ahead and everything. And I was leaving home, drove all the way, and then, you know, and then, you know, all the way we had now, as in when they will tell you that, okay, the procession, you know, is coming from the mortuary and everything. You have to go to, like, the beginning of the street, like, it's the honor of your parents, you know, like that when they pass away and you're burying them, like, dance, you know, and everybody was dancing. And in my mind, I was like, dancing. You know, you just try, you know, to go ahead and go along. And but I was very scared. I just felt like I was hitting the breaking point, because the truth is I'd gone through series, you know, of level of grief, because she was diagnosed with cancer. So first, when the lump was found, it was one level. Then you start praying, let it not be malignant, you understand? Let it be benign, you know, and everything. I remember coming back from a flight, and immediately I saw my sister's text message and said, we need to talk. I just knew, you know, that the result was back, and something just told me that this is cancer. And then I picked up the phone and called her. It's so real right now, because I can remember myself in that parking lot. It was in a grocery parking lot, you know, and I, you know, sat down in the car and then picked up the phone and called her. And she was like, ah, oh, well, the test came back from South Africa, blah, 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 blah. It's cancer. So we started back and forth treatment. What are we going to do? What are we not going to do? This is, you know, make the best options. So every step of the way, there's a struggle. Every step of the way, there's one disappointing news or the other. By the time the doctor says this, and my mom says, no, I'm not doing that. And then eventually stage 4, in pain, excruciating pain every day. You know, when you see your loved one like wither out in front of your eyes. It's something very powerful. It is something that can never leave you the same way. T.J. Jakes said something. If somebody asks you that, has anybody ever lost their life in front of you before? And you have to think twice before you answer. You have never experienced it before. Because if you have experienced it before, it leaves you marked. Because it was like his mother died right in his hand. Do you understand? So the truth is, death or the loss of life is something very devastating. The hurt that it brings, hallelujah, the experience itself, draining. Then the ripple effects of that particular loss continually hits you. The more he hits you, it's like he's drawing life out of you. So there is a loss of something. There is a loss of life. But that is not where the battle lies. Where the battle lies is, you, if you're not careful, begin to lose life. It begins to drain. Hope, life begins to drain out of you. And like I said that day, I was so shaken. And I was like, why would I be doing this today? Why wouldn't I be celebrating my mom? Do you understand today? And I was wondering, I was going to see her for the first time. Yes, I've seen her sick. I've seen her down. I've seen her in pain. But now I was going to see a lifeless body. You understand? And it's like it was a build up. And 2015, 2016 was a year that was very stretching for me on a lot of levels. A lot are taking its toll. It was like that was the final icing on the cake. When the casket was opened and I saw God, I just sunk. I just lost it. As in, like, I literally just lost it. I was like, what? You know, at that point, it made me reflect and start thinking about life and the things that we place emphasis on and the things that we hold there and how we think that I am strong, I am prepared, I can do anything, I can face anything, and there is somebody under the sound of my voice right now. Somebody just died. You just lost a relationship. You just lost a marriage. You just lost a job. Somebody just betrayed you. And you say, Pastor D, but we're talking about grief. Something we've not come to realize is grief is actually the loss of life. The loss of life does not only come by physical death. Are you with me? Are you with me? When you lose a life, what are you losing? You're losing a relationship. You're losing the investment of time. Why is it that somebody dies, it might not affect me as much as when this person dies? Why? Because what I have invested, what I have experienced, the memories that I share with this particular individual, I am losing it. So a part of me is actually going with that person. Do you understand? As that part of me is being yanked out, that is what causes the pain. Do you understand? So there are times there are people that lose their father and the relationship they have with their father is not as impactful as somebody that has to get divorced because the husband is just no longer faithful. This relationship is no longer working. That's become so painful. That divorce is more devastating for that woman than the death of her father, because there is a way, there's more life here. There's more investment here. So when this is yanked off, she's losing a part of herself. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? And nothing prepares you for this. Imagine you've woken up to a job for 5-6 years, giving it your best, giving it your all. Do you understand? It might be that you made a mistake. It might be that something just went wrong. It might be like we are dealing with a pandemic right now. There's an economic challenge. And all of a sudden, without you planning for it, that is not the outcome that you expect. You are told that this is the end of the road. This job needs to be taken from you. So the psychologist has been able to say that the neural parts in our brains are created, the hormones that come up in our body. The same way somebody loses someone, somebody dies, it's the same way for a lot of people experiencing divorce, experiencing a breakup, experiencing betrayal. When you talk about betrayal, now is a loss of trust. So let me start breaking down. So when somebody betrays you, it's a loss of trust. And in our society today, a lot of us are looking at other people and be like, oh, let me console you. But a lot of us are grieving. Shattered dreams. Unrealized dreams. And there are several stages of grief. A lot of times we meet it with shock. The truth is, as at that morning, what I was talking about, I was still in shock. And at times when we're in shock, because the pain is very excruciating, what you want to do is deny. This is not happening. No. This is not. You know, God, let this not be true. Let it. You know, the adrenaline that pumps through your body. God. No. And then when it hits you that it's true, you know, there's this feeling, I don't know how to explain it, of, it's a sense of bitter relief that, okay, this is true. I have to deal with this. I don't know if you're, it's not a good relief. It's like, okay, you know, you've been saying, no, I can't deal with that. I can't deal. Then it gets to a point. This person is sick. it will not be to me, or she will not be to me who she used to be. This is what I have to deal with now. I am losing a part of my experience with that person. I grieve. Do you understand? A lot of times it is even called anticipatory grief. Because immediately the diagnosis is given, immediately you're seeing the experience, you are not only grieving about today, you are already thinking of tomorrow, by the time this person would have to die. Or by the time I have to live without this person. So it is overwhelming. Do you understand? Do you understand? There is going to be retrenchment at work. They are going to be laying people off. Or there is a pandemic and I might lose my business. I keep anticipating, no, 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 let it not be so. So I'm shocked, like, how would this be happening? How would there be this way through the world? Do you understand me? I begin to deny the fact, no, no, no. Then all of a sudden, it hits. And there's this like, okay, this is what I have to deal with. And in this state, a lot of people now begin to deal with guilt. Because you're like, I should have, could have, would have. If I did this, maybe this would not have happened. Maybe if I spent more time. Do you understand? I remember my mom at that time, like I said, it was a crazy period, you know. And I was in Lagos. We were in Lagos together. 2 weeks. I think 2-3 weeks. We had not seen each other. So there's some people, you are far across, you know, and Atlantic Ocean. You're like, ah, I couldn't even get to say bye-bye. But I was in the same town, you know, same Lagos state. And I remember Pishex telling me, she died on a Monday. Pishex telling me Sunday after service, let's go and see her. And I was like, you know, no. I can't deal with that today. Let me rest. Because most of the time, my mom sees through me. So I'm like, once she sees me, like, you are stressed. She says, so if I go and I sleep, do you understand? And I wake up, at least I'm fresh. I will use a bit of makeup. When I see her, the first thing she's saying is, ah, what's wrong with you? You this girl. You will not take things. Do you understand? Somebody say, if I had known. Which is what a lot of people are saying right now. If I knew that the call was going to come, and that was the last time, she was going to be able to dot over me and say, take it. And I would say, madam, you are not feeling well. Let's take care of you. Don't take care of me. Don't keep, you understand? I would have gone. You understand? So if I was not careful, I would have dwelt there just because that guilt. Did I care enough for her? What could we have done? Was there a better medical option? Do you understand? On the job, what would I have done differently? Would I have put in more hours? What would I have been able to deliver? How would I have related with my boss? Do you understand me? The fact that I have been married for how many years, and the grief of being childless. Remember Hannah, when she went to Shiloh and she was praying. The Bible says that she was filled with so much grief. She was talking, but the words could not come out. The anguish in her soul was so deep. Nothing prepares you for grief. You cannot even experience your spouse a lot of times. And it hits and draws life out of you. And the more you feel guilty, the more you feel helpless. You are angry. Anger. Oh, shadow, I'm dealing with a lot of angry people in this society. Angry at God. Angry at yourself. Angry at your mom. Angry at the government. Angry at that neighbor next door. And in our anger, you're still helpless. In your anger, you lash out. In your anger, if you're not careful, you inflict more pain. And when you inflict pain, you lose more life. And then we begin to bargain. God, if you give me this, if you can only bring my loved one back. In fact, okay, let me die. Or let me just be pregnant for 1 week. 1 week. Let me even know what it feels like and lose the pregnancy. Then you will ask somebody that has dealt with a miscarriage. And they will tell you, I was reading a devotional yesterday. No, I think a write-up. And the woman said, I sat down on the toilet set and the blood kept on gushing out and gushing out. And as it was gushing out, it was as if life was gushing out of me. I had not gone to the hospital, but I knew nobody had to tell me that I lost this child. And she said, I thought that was the end. But I didn't know it was the beginning. So several experiences. At times I was told there was no longer a heartbeat when I went for ultrasound. At one point I had a baby and the baby came out lifeless. It was a stillbirth. At one point it was 3 months. And somehow there was just one complication. And again, I was told there was no heartbeat. She said, the first time I felt the ball gush out of me, yes, life was coming out, but I had hope. I could still hold on. But the more I experienced the loss, the more my hope left me. The more I lost my faith, the more I lost life, the more I didn't want to go on. I was so down and depleted to a point. And this took me to a point of reflection, which is the next point that we all get to. And this is usually the pivotal stage that determines what happens. This is what, you know, I told you that grief will never leave you the same. Never. Somebody say never. Somebody say never. See, no matter how you rationalize it, something happened and it is something phenomenal and something great. Your life has changed. Do you understand? But it is either it changes for good. Somebody say good. Are you sure, Pastor D? Or it changes for bad. Because the truth is that day I sat down on the floor. They were trying. See, it was like, let me go. Do you understand? And I remember, I think it was last week, I was looking at a documentary that Ibidun Godalo, you know, today would have been her 40th birthday, you know, that she had. And she was saying, I remembered after going through the IVFs, the failed IVF, and there was one that worked, and I was pregnant for 3 months, and we lost the baby. And at that point, her voice broke. She said, I didn't want to live again. She said, you don't understand. He said, it was over. At that point, I was like, God, just take me. I didn't have the whatever in me to go on. And that is exactly what I felt that morning. I had pushed through a lot of grief. I had been strong. Or the other lady that was talking about losing her children again and again to miscarriage, stillbirth. But we all get to a point in life where we grieve so much, you don't believe that you can go on. But if you can go through your shock, you can go through your denial, you can go through your guilt, you can go through your anger, you can quit bargaining, because I don't know what chip you have to play. When it comes to grief, all the chips are down. They are down. You are down to your lowest. It's as if nothing is working. You are helpless. And then you now pick it up from low. I cannot go lower than this. So after I sat down that morning and I wailed, and like at one point they were trying to, and I told them, just leave me. I sat down, I wailed and wailed and wailed and got up and stood in front of the casket and looked at her. And I told the devil, you have done your worst. Do you understand? This is the beginning of the rest of my days. This is the point where I experienced the comfort of God the way I've never experienced it. This is the day that I connect with God the way I have never connected with God. Yes, I don't understand this. Yes, I might have wanted this to end in a different way. But I'm grateful for the life I've had before now. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I've had before now. Yes, I might think I could have done better. Do you understand? Right now, today, I'm not as rich as I am that I would have been able to give, you know, the kind of life that I want to give or the kind of opportunity I want to give you, Mom. And the truth is that I stood there, I was talking to myself and I was talking to my maker. But Mom, I did my best. The devil cannot tell me otherwise. Do you understand? And from today, this is actually a springboard for me to do better. To make God proud. To make life flow through me. I know the devil wants me to give up hope, but I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from Jehovah. He is the maker of heaven and earth. The one that watches over me. He does not sleep nor slumber. He is the God of all comfort. Somebody say the God of all comfort. You begin to ask questions. By the time I asked questions that day, do you understand? I was like, God, I could have asked you why. Why me? Why her? Why this way? Why at this time? Why did you give me more time? Do you understand? I could have asked, why couldn't I do better? Do you understand? I could have asked, why could medicine do better for me? Why couldn't the drugs work better? But I chose to reflect in a different way. This was a different way. And this was a question that I asked. I said, what if I took my pain and I make the best out of it? What if I picked up my pain and I made me stronger. I've been through things before that I thought was going to take me out, and yet I came out stronger. I came out with better character. I came out with more empathy. I came out connecting with my word better. So why can't I leave this spot and be a stronger woman? Be a more impactful woman? Why can't I work hard and begin to make money in such a way that they can do more research? Do you understand? To help people with cancer. Oh, strike that. But what I made up my mind to do is, why won't I walk with God in such a way that I have his tangible presence and his tangible power, so that as it flows in me and it flows through me, I can powerfully minister to the church and to people? And that was the shift in my relationship with God and the shift in my ministry. And that is what I came to share with you today. Yes, you've lost trust. Based on your experience, there's been a loss of connection. There's been a loss of covenant. There's been a loss of fulfillment. Hallelujah. There's been a loss of hope. There's been a loss of life. But God is reaching out to you today, because the answer to your questions will determine whether you complete your grief or you repeat your grief. So I chose that day that I will not repeat and rehearse the pain. Rather, I let go of this pain. I lay it at an altar. And that is what I came to invite you to do today. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a God of all comfort. There is a God that sees you beyond anyone. There is a God that understands you. How you load your pillow with tears every night. You try to come out strong. You try to mask it up with a lot of makeup. You try to look as if you're going on strong. No, it's not affecting me. Yes, my mom is ill, but I'm fine. Yes, my wife has not been faithful, but I'm fine. Yes, I lost my job and I lost that contract, but I'm fine. Yes, that man took me for granted, but I'm fine. My mother died, but I'm fine. First, I want you to know that yes, you're fine, but acknowledge what you're dealing with. Acknowledge what you have been through. Acknowledge what you lost. But most importantly, bring it to the cross. And the temptation, there are two things I'm going to tell you to do today. Because this first thing that we are tempted to do, you self-isolate. You self-isolate. A lot of times when you're in pain, you're highly irritable. You don't want to mix. You don't want to connect again because you just lost life. Something just drained out of you. You're just dealing with something that people don't understand. It looks as if everybody's taking it for granted. So before you know it, you're irritable, your husband, your friends, your loved ones. But if you truly want to heal, avoid self-isolation. You're still here for a reason. Everybody is in your life for a reason. I'm here speaking to you today for a reason. Amen. I'm going to read something to you from the Word to You Today devotional. It says, grief tempts us to push others away and refuse their offers of sympathy and help. Don't let pride or past differences rob you of this support. When you are alone too much, you lose perspective. If the enemy can isolate you, he can influence you. Be sure to surround yourself with people who would ask the tough questions and simply be there to listen with no strings attached. These people will ground you and give you some perspective when the pain seems too much to bear. Friends and church members can be of great solace. Knowing that others understand, even partially, what you are experiencing can be like a healing salve on your wounds. So wherever you are in the world right now, and you're masking your pain, and you're hiding away in a shell, and you're cowering away, please trust again. Reach out again. Let your loved ones love you. Trust again. Step out again. Push again. And some of us are still pushing on other levels. But the levels that you've given up on and you're rationalizing, allow people. Share your experience with people. Because the warmth that you get, the wisdom that is shared, the sympathy that is shared, gives you perspective, pours life into you, and jumpstarts your healing. I know it's painful when you have to yield yourself to people, when you have to talk to people. It's excruciating. You don't want to, but allow that pain, because it only get better and better. You want to shout, hold it back. You want to be hostile, hold it back. You want to be negative, hold it back. Connect and let people be able to reach out and minister to you. Because yes, you have lost something. It is precious. Yes, you have lost a life. It looks as if you cannot get it back. But you still have others in your life because they have something to offer you that will jumpstart your healing. And lastly, this morning, let your pain drive you to God. Let your pain drive you to God. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I came to tell you this morning that the best place to experience God is in your vulnerability. God specializes in the possible. God specializes in taking over when you're at your wit's end. There's so much craziness going on in the world right now. There's so much uncertainty in the world right now. The feeling is so overwhelming right now. But don't stay with your feelings. Go with the word of God. Go with the word of God. I know right now you're tempted to stay angry at God. And the answers you're giving your questions is, God, you could have done better. But he gave you salvation. And when he was here, he said, you will face a lot of troubles and tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So he didn't say, we will not go through trying times. He didn't say, we will not experience loss. He didn't say the devil will not attack. But what he said is, when you're going through the waters, I am there with you. Even in the fire, I am there with you. There's a fourth man in this fire. And this will not take you out. This would only make you better. So you can get down to God and share your feelings with him. But please, by all means, we don't take for granted what you've experienced. But the word of God is true. And what does the word of God say? Isaiah 53:4a. It says, surely. It put the surely because you can doubt it. Surely he borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. So this is a month where we declare total healing. Apart from carrying our physical sickness and pain, he bore your grief even before you started experiencing it. That guy broke your heart. He bore your grief. You're dealing with an overwhelming situation right now. He has carried your soul. You don't have it. It's already with God. So instead of you isolating first from people or blocking the God of all comfort, let your pain drive you to God. As you come to God, what do? Lay your feelings at the altar. Lay your feeling overwhelmed at the altar, your helplessness at the altar, and begin to stand on the word of God and begin to confess that you bore my grief and carried my sorrow. I don't understand this. I don't know how to deal with this. But if you dealt with it on the cross, that means you have dealt with it before now. And so God, in the name of Jesus, I trust you that I will walk in the reality of your victory. In the name of Jesus, in the reality of the wholeness in God, in the name of Jesus. Because when you stand on the word of God, it builds your faith. And your perspective and sustenance become supernaturally crafted and secure. Do you understand? So ideally, I should not have stood before my mother's corpse and start making declaration for God. And start making a commitment for God. And start having a renewed vigor at life. Do you understand me? Did I still cry? Yes. Do I still miss her? Yes. Am I still pained? I think so. But at times I still ask, am I? Rather, I have allowed my pain to drive me to God and walk out in me what was not there before. Do you understand? God's comfort brings healing. God's comfort brings healing. God's comfort brings healing. And as he heals you, he makes you a channel of his blessing in an unprecedented way. Remember our text. It says, all praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise. Somebody give us God praise. He's the God of the Father of our, he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that gave his only begotten Son. That God separated for his Son because of how much he loved us. So that he can bear our pain, our sickness, our grief and sorrow. The Father of all tender mercies. And the God of endless comfort. God is saying, how deep is your sorrow? How overwhelming is your situation? My comfort flows. It is endless. There is no sorrow that is not short, that will not stop. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. The comfort of God is endless. It keeps flowing. It goes with you. You see, he always comes alongside to comfort us. Did he say in some suffering? Did he say in some suffering? In every suffering. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Even though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff comfort you. When guilt comes, God helps you to learn the lesson and helps you to write the lesson and helps you to move to victory. Do you understand me? God comforts you the way no spouse can. God takes care of you the way no job can. God sees to you the way no relationship can. God has your back the way no economy does. His word is yea and amen. Every other rock is sinking sand, but there is a God that is ever faithful. Too faithful to fail. Circumstances does not determine who he is. The doctor's report does not determine who he is. A certificate does not determine who he is. He remains God every day, every time, in every situation, no matter what your age is, no matter what the barrier is, no matter what the struggle is, no matter how wide or how deep the loss, God says, my comfort is endless. I'm sitting with you when I need to sit with you. I'm cheering you on when I need to cheer you on. I'm speaking to you when I need to speak to you. I'm soothing your pain where I need to soothe your pain. I am giving you life. 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 It flows right now from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. It flows in your mind. It flows in your thoughts. It flows in your faculties. In the name of Jesus, it flows through that marriage right now. In the name of Jesus, it flows through that connection with your child right now. In the name of Jesus. Because every day, people are dealing with grief. This is not what I saw my life to be. This is not how I envisioned my marriage. This is not what I saw on this job. This is not how I saw 2020. But he's with you. But beyond that, he's coming alongside, comforting you in every suffering, so that we can come alongside those who are in painful trial. So I've lost relationships. Yeah. I've been betrayed several times. I've been heartbroken several times. I've lost two of my parents, both to cancer. I trust God for a better tomorrow, better than if he had been around. Do you understand? And that endless comfort I keep having. But beyond that, it makes me empathetic. It has made me stronger. That is why I can stand and minister to you today. And that is why I can stand and minister to people today. I've had to deal with office politics where people have, God, broken my neck. I think the elses of this world will tell you by the time I'm saying some things, girl, let your head be correct. By the time she's done with the session, she's just like, in her mind, she's like, Pastor D, you don't want that. I say, let's leave the feelings. What is the future? Why can I go at her like that? Because I have sat down in hotel rooms and wailed and cried. Do you understand? Why is my boss doing this to me? Why had the heart against me? And then when I finish crying, I'm like, God, okay, what's up? And I push the next level. Do you understand? So at the end of the day, it not only comforts you, it positions you, it empowers you so that you now begin to comfort others. Do you understand? I remember Pastor Mildred Okonkwo saying, I am grateful. Imagine somebody say, I am grateful for my infertility journey because I was, do you understand? I was barren, so to say, for 8 years, positioned me right now to minister to thousands of women. And I told the devil, devil, you are, as you know, you will not have crucified the Lord of glory. I will run you out of earth when it comes to infertility. What is your own experience? What is God saying to you as he's sitting with you there right now, speaking to you in a living room? What is God saying concerning your marriage? What is God saying about your career? What is God saying about your loss? What is God saying about that grief, that pain? What is God saying about the loss of the parents? The loss of your child. Just as you have experienced the abundance of Christ's own suffering, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon you through your union with Christ. You see why your pain has to drive you with God to God? Because in God is where his word becomes real. And the comfort, it does not come in snippets. It comes overflowing to the measure to which you need it.